Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today are Jeff Krask and Michael Cantor, who are executive producers of countless game shows you've watched, including a couple of shows that are on TV now, 25 Words or Less, and another show, Child Support, with Ricky Gervais and Fred Savage. Jeff, Michael, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks for having us.
Happy to be here.
And very happy to have you both. And we're going to be talking today, you're probably wondering why, which is because they produce game shows, they've got to create programs that will involve people, get people to want to play, get people to want to watch. And as more and more compliance programs embrace gamification, it struck us that there was things that can be learned there. So let's dive right in. Michael, what makes for a game that people want to play?
That is a really important question, and if I really had the answer, I would live in a much bigger house, because it's just a game that people want to play. I think it's one that makes you play along whether you want to or not. And my perfect example of that is a game like Family Feud. Name something you find in a bathroom. Well, you hear that question and you can't help yourself but start thinking about plungers and toilets and everything else that goes on in a bathroom. So what makes a game something people want to play is one that they have no choice, that they're playing whether they want to or not. That's my answer. Jeff, do you have something better to say?
No, I actually, play along is the number one game, and it has to be where everyone, like Michael said, everyone can jump in and have their own thought. But it's just funny how games, two very different games are like Wheel of Fortune, where you're just playing Hangman. And then there's Deal or No Deal, where you're just guessing what's inside a case. But in both cases, I think as a viewer, you are playing in place of the person on TV. So you're kind of transferring. I'm going sideways. But you're playing along. It's just something. If you want to play a game, you want to be able to play. And if you start to watch a show and the game gets too complicated or the answers are just way above your head and it makes you feel stupid, it's like, what's the point?
Yeah, and I definitely can say we see that myself, you know, and by the way, I should note, you guys both produce Family Feud and Deal or No Deal, is that you do find yourself making the decisions for the contestants or coming up with the answers and getting vested in it. Now, what makes for a game that other people are going to want to watch, even if they're not playing? Is it that sense that you can project yourself into being the shoes of the contestant?
You know, it's interesting. In a way, it's a cultural thing. Jeff and I have often been assigned to take European game show formats and adapt them for America. And it turns out that the U.S. is a very different market than other places in the world. In the U.S., we like doing formats whereby the viewer is basically playing along and they're rewarded for answering. As a viewer, you're yelling at the screen because you have an answer. We do a lot of multiple choice question type of things like Millionaire, so that while you hear a Millionaire question, you're already saying, I think it's C, I think it's C, I think it's C. You're playing along. In a lot of other European countries, what's interesting is that they tend to celebrate the intelligent person. And so rather than feeling like I could be that guy, in Europe, it's more like, wow, that guy's really smart. That person is so good at this game, I could never do that. And it feels like that's an interesting cultural difference that Jeff and I are often called on to bridge that gap.
So basically, Adam, what he's saying is what we like to do is dumb it down. So if your people are trying to feel really smart in England, we create shows like Wipeout, where you bounce off of a ball and fall in water, or Ellen's Game of Games, where you fall through the floor. And so that's the key to selling a show in America.
Yeah, so the sillier, the better. Though I do remember, you know, talking about the cultural difference, for a while you'd see these Japanese game shows where there would sort of be like acts of humiliation. I mean, that I don't think you could sell in the United States.
Kind of close. I mean, they've tried, and there are formats in the U.S. where there are those sort of humiliation games. Just look how silly they are. I mean, Wipeout is basically a comedy version of American Ninja Warrior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, by the way, I've never projected myself in the ability to be a ninja warrior or even a fan. It's well above my physical acumen. Now, what's the easiest way to accidentally ruin a game?
Overcomplicating it. It's a lot of games once you start watching and the rules take 2 or 3 minutes to explain is a big problem. And another problem is kind of part and parcel to that is that you have to get right into the game. You can't, people don't have the attention span to sit there and learn, okay, here's how I have to play, here are what the ground rules are. Just show me, if you can play it and show people how it works by playing it, then you're in a really good position.
Yeah, just to add to that, a great game is one where you can tune in the middle and you're not lost. So many people make the mistake of spending a lot of time explaining what you're going to see, and by the time you actually see it, you forgot what the rules are. So simplicity is kind of key.
Now, let's talk about the host. What would you describe as the role of the host?
A great host is one that keeps things moving seamlessly and that brings out the best in their contestants, that they seem truly invested in the game and care about the outcome. Whereas I would think a bad host is one where it looks like they're phoning it in and they're collecting a paycheck and just going through the motions. And we've had experiences with both. The best people are those that show up and are excited about the day. Currently, we're working with Meredith Vieira on 25 Words or Less. And she's a dream to work with because in this show, viewers can tell that how excited she gets when somebody wins. She truly does care. And that is palpable. That is something that we think translates to the viewer. And I'm sure you've seen some shows where it looks like somebody is just reading copy off a teleprompter, and that's very not good.
Another problem we have is a lot of times people will hire comedians so they can expect the funny, but the comedians are just armed with one-liners. And I think Howie Mandel is a great example of somebody that, you know, he was a comedian, but he went in, and what he did is he realized the contestant was the star, so he paid attention and he played off of them rather than just waiting for an opportunity to hit the, you know, audience with a zinger. So again, it's a game show. It's about the contestant. It's about them winning. So if the host isn't a good listener, then it's kind of gets in the way of the show.
As you're telling me that, I'm thinking about Jeopardy, where I'm always eager to get to the questions, and they always stop after the first few questions to meet the contestants. That's probably a lot more important part of the show than most people think.
It is. It's your way of getting invested, but there has to be a way to find how to get to it quicker or sell it better. And that's why a lot of shows sometimes throw in those packages about their lives because, you know, hi, my name's Jeff. I'm from Calabasas, California, you know, and I've been in waste management for 10 years. It's just, it kind of gets tired when you go down the row like that. But otherwise, you're not going to know who's playing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also, you look at shows like American Idol, where they spend so much time, you know, making you invested in the various people. It does end up having a huge impact on the way people are, you know, who you root for. Now, are there any new kinds of game formats that you're seeing that people are getting more invested in that might be translatable to a, you know, a corporate setting where really the purpose of the game show is to get people to learn something that they might not otherwise be interested in learning?
There are a lot of games. There are things like brain games where they're stressing cooperation and people figuring things out as a team. Those I think would be essential for corporations to do those sort of exercises because it is all about reinforcing cooperation skills and listening skills.
A game that we've always wanted to produce is a game where a family had to work together to solve puzzles and challenges in a way that, you know, you would have to put your 8-year-old son in one position and had to rely on him to move something a certain way for your wife to be able to jump between two different points. And then the husband there to be able to catch that person. So it is kind of back to what Michael said. It's that, you know, that team building cooperation that we think is intriguing and probably would translate to what you're doing.
Wow. It does sound intriguing because so much of the workplace does revolve around working as teams and leveraging sort of each one's strengths and also finding rules for everyone. Well, Jeff, Michael, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we all have different skill sets and good games will we'll be able to maximize each person's skill set, and that translates to a game show or the corporate environment.
Absolutely. Well, Jeff, Michael, thanks for taking the time to share these insights with us. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and ATCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.